If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
This is the Steelers Standard on Steelers Nation Radio and podcast on Steelers.com.
Draft just a little over a week away. We are continuing our series of all-time Steelers draft rounds, round four and round five coming at you today. We got to compress things together just a couple more days before the first round. Want to get this in under the deadline.
We're running out of time,
Running out of time.
We're 1 week away.
Great planning on my part to start it just a day or two too late doing this segment to really even it out, but we'll persevere. But before we get to round four, which is what we'll do in this first episode, I have a take about the draft, not having to do with the Steelers, and it's a little bit kind of off the beaten path, and it's something that, you know, those takes that you have but you know are never going to happen, but you just want to share them anyway.
Yeah, I love those.
And then I've got a quick little exercise that I want you to play for me real quick. Nothing strenuous for you.
All right, I hope not.
My take, though, is this, and I'm not going to get into all the stuff that he recently posted on social media and the crackpot theories that he continues to espouse as a major distraction to his team. But if I were the Jets, and let me double check where they're picking here, because I believe they have a top 10 pick at the very end of it. I think they're the 10th pick in the draft this year. Just double check in my order just to make sure I have this right. But regardless of where they're picking, I take a quarterback, man. You got to get rid of
Rodgers.
Like, he's just done.
Yeah, I mean,
first of all, he's done. Like, I don't think he's going to be as good. They picked 10th overall. I was right. I'm so smart. I should have trusted myself. They're not going to get what they think they're going to get out of him. Last year, maybe, you could have gotten some of that MVP form, but he blew out his Achilles. He's not going to be the same player. I'm doubting him. I'm okay going on the microphone and saying I am doubting his ability to bounce back at his age from that injury. And then also, you're just an insane person.
Yes.
Like, you're just not worth it. Like, when AB was an insane person, but he was hauling down 1,500-yard seasons and 12-touchdown seasons at wide receiver, that was worth it. But it's just, you know, they're not going to do this. They're not going to draft a quarterback, but I would try to trade up. I'd take Bo Nix at 10. I'd take Penix at 10. Anybody that gives you an option other than Aaron Rodgers. And I get that you probably couldn't just draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix and then just cut Aaron Rodgers and go into camp with him, whatever. But just to have somebody in the wings that can take over if things escalate way too far for him, or if he just sucks at playing football right now. And again, I know that this is kind of a random out of left field take, but it's just, I see this guy go on the internet and talk to us like he's some scholar. Like, he actually graduated from Berkeley.
Better. Right.
Instead of just got to play football there for a year or two. Like, the arrogance with which he presents his dumbass theories.
I mean, Tom, I could.
Me so mad and makes me want to say this on the air today that, you know, that was my take about the Jets. Like, I would just be done with this guy. Like, hey, you swung and missed. You're the Jets. You do that all the time with quarterbacks. This is just another in the long list of things we can make fun of you for that quarterback position. But my God, guys, I mean, just what a terrible thing that they have stepped themselves into. I don't know what's worse, them stepping into the Rodgers thing or the Browns stepping into the Deshaun Watson thing. But it's two franchises that suck at finding quarterbacks, swinging for big fish. And it turns out that the big fish were radioactive, and you can't eat those fish. You got to throw those fish back in the lake.
So two things. The answer to your question is obvious. Which is worse, the Rodgers situation with the Jets or the Browns situation with Watson? The Watson situation is worse because you spent $230 million
to get that guy. Yeah, and I think his antics venture into the criminal side of things, where Rodgers is just speaking ignorantly.
Yeah, stupidly. He's just,
and speaking ignorantly can do a lot of damage.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it.
I think we see that around the country right now. But I'm saying that there is definitely a level to where speech stops and where action is much worse, and Watson is action.
And then my other point was that the ignorance thing. He has shown that since day one, Tom. Flashback to 2005 when Alex Smith was taken first overall by the 49ers. The big story that day was the smug look on Aaron Rodgers' face for I can't believe I wasn't taken number one overall.
Well, at least with that, it's arrogance with something that you're actually good at.
Right.
You're actually good at football.
You were coming out of Cal, and you looked really good. But still, you saw the smug, arrogant look on his face all night.
Right. Well, the problem is when that bled over into other aspects of the world and life.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, this has been apparent in Aaron Rodgers since day one.
If he wants to be kind of the biggest jerk in the world and look down his nose at people and judge them for not knowing how to play quarterback or football and like be really snarky with the media or be really like, I'm so much smarter than you to people when it comes to football, what? I wouldn't like it. I would hate him. But, like, what's the point of – there's nothing to criticize there. He does know more than football than a lot of people. He's a great quarterback, maybe one of the greatest ever. It's just the dabbling into other areas. And, hey, you're a human being. Your identity is not just playing football. Please go adventure into politics if you want to. Venture into theater if you want to. Have other interests. Play an instrument. I don't give a crap. But don't – then take those things and then make yourself this pseudo expert in these fields and then push your thoughts onto people in the arrogant manner that he does. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it that much longer or any longer at all. I just wanted to say, like, I would be so sick of this if I was the Jets right now. Like, dude, we brought you in to try to get to a conference championship game, to try to push in this crowded AFC conference. Like, and all you've done is play four snaps and make a ton of noise off the field. Mm.
It didn't cost them much, though, right? Because, like, his contract was a lot of, like, on-the-field incentives or what? I forget the details, but I think he didn't make a lot of money last year
That was just last year. I think they have to pay him now this year.
Oh, really? I don't know what's left on his contract. Do you know?
I mean, this year, so the base salary last year was only $1 million. This year's base salary is only going to be $3 million. He gets a signing bonus of $7 million. So, yeah, they reworked things out. But they're also still on the hook for a lot of money. Like, next year's 2025 cap hit for Rodgers is $51,500,000. Mm. And if you move on from him, the dead cap hit's $49 million.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, the dead cap hit this year would be $66 million for them to move on from Rodgers. So, like...
They're so they
stuck.
Can't just.
That's what I mean. Like,
it's a take
that I had that is never going to happen because they're stuck.
Because they can't. I mean, that would blow out the Russell Wilson dead cap hit.
They did restructure his deal, $1.8 million last year, $3.1 million this year, but then $37.5 million is what he's owed next year.
Russell Wilson set the record for the dead cap hit when Denver released him.
So I
think this would be another record breaker, would it not?
I can't deny that. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head that that's 100% factual, but I would find it really hard to believe that it's not. All right, before we get to the Steelers' all-time fourth-round draft pick team, I want you to just give me a quick little boom or bust, all right? Boom or bust, I'm going to read off – it's speed round, too. I'm going to read off some quarterbacks here. I don't know how far down I'm going to go. Probably like 5, maybe 6 or 7. I just want to get your boom or bust, all right? I don't want to hear you go, well, he could be okay, he could be a decent – no. Boom or bust, all right?
All right.
Caleb Williams.
I'll go boom.
Jaden Daniels.
I'll go boom.
Yeah. Drake May.
I'll go bust.
Uh-huh. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy.
Bust. Whoa. That's the easiest
Bo Nix.
One. I might say bust.
I like your hesitation, though, because I'm thinking maybe that guy's the diamond in the rough. Michael Penix.
I could say boom. I could see, like, in the right team.
I think we're in the same ballpark here where we got
like,
Jaden and Caleb are booms. I think those guys are going to be dudes in the NFL.
Here's my take on
I think
Penix.
Drake May is probably a bust, and I'm sure JJ is. So we're right in the same ballpark there. I think one of the Penixes or the Nixes is going to be good, too. Like,
yeah.
I think there's going to be a third guy,
one.
But one of them is going to be good.
I don't know which one. My take on Penix is if you were to put him, like, on a team with, like, Baltimore— like Baltimore's offense, I could see him excelling immediately.
100%. If these two, Knicks or Penix, land in the right spot, mm-hmm. I think they can excel.
My worry is that they don't.
But a Knicks or a Penix aren't the type of guy like Williams or Daniels where they can go to Washington
anywhere.
Or Chicago
anywhere,
and franchise
and succeed.
Turn them around.
Yeah.
So,
it has to be the right fit for them, for me to believe in them.
And I think May and McCarthy are kind of the same way. They need a fit. And May's going to get taken by the Patriots probably third. And we'll see what that fit is like now in this new Patriots era.
Have we moved off of Drake May being the consensus number two overall pick to Washington?
I think people think Daniels is the second best quarterback
in
the draft.
Well, I think that's a smart thing, but I feel like we've heard Drake May's name attached to Washington this entire time.
Drake May was like, it was Caleb and Drake at the beginning of the year and through the college football season, and all this whole draft cycle was kind of Caleb and Drake, and Jaden's the guy that always just rises up. And deservedly so. He won the Heisman last year. I think teams are just kind of in step with us. And in a lot of these, like I'm looking at ESPN right now, their rankings, Jaden's the second best quarterback and not Drake May. So I think there has been a little bit of a passing. I would take Jaden over Drake if I was Washington. I like Jaden's, you know, tool set. I mean, Drake May can run. I'm not trying to say that Drake May is not going to be able to get you 10 yards on the ground. Daniels just has that kind of like
athletic ability
all around that you're kind of dreaming of as an NFL GM now.
I'm still nervous, though, for Jaden Daniels to go to New England or go to Washington, because those are bad teams.
Man, Washington. See, like, a year ago, you'd be like, well, Washington for sure. But, like, you just don't know what New England's going to look like with Mayo in this new, now
completely
post-Belichick
team.
Era.
Like, so, even though I like Jaden Daniels' potential, I'm still nervous for him to go to New England or Washington.
Caleb Williams is the best team to go to.
Oh, absolutely.
The Bears always...
Caleb Williams is in the best position because he's the best quarterback and he's going to the best team of that early
Washington
round
Washington has, like, success with quarterbacks throughout their franchise. The Patriots have the GOAT. The Bears don't have anybody. So, like, it's weird for me to say, well, that's the landing spot you want to be in, but it truly is. I mean, Jacob,
it's the best
team. That was an 8-9 team last year.
Right.
That's picking one overall. Like, the bones are there for a really good team if they can just get Caleb Williams to play like C.J. Stroud.
And they're doing
be a
other
fringe
things.
Playoff
like,
team.
They're bringing in Keenan Allen. They're bringing in defensive players. Like, they're not just saying, okay, we're going to put all of our chips in Caleb Williams and hope he's good enough to elevate the rest of the team. They're doing things to help make his life easier.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
All right, before we get to the Steelers' fourth-round draft classes, draft picks, I really just have no idea how to word this thing. It's very awkward. It's a very awkward staple that we're doing during draft season 2024. But here's some other great picks in the fourth round. How about active guy Kyle Juszczyk, a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, great.
From the Ravens.
Probably the best fullback
of this,
era, of this decade.
Sure.
Yeah,
he'll never have anything on Mike Alstott, though, or Dan Kreider.
Certainly not 35. No.
Chris Carter, Hall of Fame wide receiver, drafted in the fourth round by the Philadelphia Eagles. Another Hall of Fame wide receiver.
He was taken by the Eagles.
Yeah. Another Hall of Fame wide receiver, Steve Largent, in 1976, taken by the Houston Oilers back then. Tackle John Runyon went to Houston in the fourth round. Jerry Kramer, guard, went to Green Bay. That was back in the 50s, though. Jared Allen, that crazy bastard.
I think he's one of the few that has a 20-sack season notch on his belt, right?
I think you're right.
Oh, well, he was chasing Strahan's record for sacks in a season
chase.
1 year, but like came up just short, like had 21 in a season.
Yeah, he had a record chase for sure. He had 22 sacks in a season.
Wow, so he was a half sack short. That's crazy.
The record, yeah. How about he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year that year? In 2011.
Really?
No.
Wait, in what year?
See if I can find that.
2012?
2011.
11.
Had,
you know who? It was
sacks.
Terrell Suggs.
You're right. It was T-Sizzle.
Yeah, I remember.
T-Sizzle had two interceptions. He had 14 sacks. Man, Jared Allen got robbed. T T-Sizzle.
Completely.
Not.
Especially for T-Sizzle.
T-Sizzle did not have a good year. Or he had a great year. I'm not saying T-Sizzle didn't have a good year, but.
But 22 sacks. Come on.
You always got to remember Jared Allen, too, for the guy that was running after Dan Orlovsky.
Into the back of the end zone.
And he's like pointing at him. I know that Allen's big years are with the Vikings. Can you tell me who drafted him, though, in the fourth round?
Oh, I couldn't. I do know he played for the Panthers in that Super Bowl against the Broncos.
But that was kind of at the end.
His
dominance was with the Vikings.
Yeah, of course. That's how
Kansas City drafted him.
Wow.
The Chiefs in 2004.
Wow.
Geno Atkins. We're familiar with him. Fourth round pick for Bengal. Cincinnati.
Yep.
Tom Jackson, outside linebacker. Gotta love Tom Jackson. NFL primetime, right? I mean,
of course.
Boom. Tom Jackson, a great player, too. Played 14 seasons, 20 interceptions.
Yeah, like, but we remember him in the booth with Boomer.
That's right,
in the
Boom.
Booth, in the studio with Boomer, sorry.
That's right, Boom. God, that was the best. That was the best show ever.
NFL primetime?
Yeah, like, it was the best.
Yeah, of course.
All right, and you know what? Red Zone's kind of ruined it a little bit because it's like, not
to say
Red Zone's
not great. You don't need that
recap
at the end of the day.
What happened the rest of the league.
Well, they don't really do it anymore.
The internet, all that stuff.
They don't really do it.
It was appointment television at like 7, 8 p.m. before the Sunday night game.
Oh, yeah,
that
was great.
What the hell happened outside of Pittsburgh this week? Like, Asante Samuel, fourth round pick from the Patriots back in 2003. Another active guy, Eddie Jackson, been to two Pro Bowls, his 14 career interceptions, safety. And then I got to get this guy in there. Ron Wolfley, one of the Wolfley
guys.
Wow, how
about
that? Fourth round pick, St. Louis Cardinals, 1985. A couple quarterbacks for you, too. Norm Van Brocklin was a fourth-round
pick. Sure. I know that name.
Kirko.
Oh,
Kirk
really?
Cousins was a fourth-round pick.
Fourth-round pick.
Fourth-round pick for Kirk Cousins.
Do you remember what year he was drafted?
Same year that RG3 was drafted.
I remember
what
saying,
wild
what the hell
class.
Is Washington doing? Worked out for them.
It did. I think it worked out for them with RG3, too. They just played him too much.
Yeah. I mean,
he shouldn't have played on that turf with that injury.
Right.
Joe Theismann, fourth round pick.
Washington,
tragic
man.
Tragic end to his career, but. And then a former MVP, Rich Gannon, fourth round pick.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Rich Gannon.
Vikings drafted. No, he was drafted by the Patriots in 1987. And how about this little nugget? The Patriots thought he should be a running back, and Rich Gannon told them, I don't think so.
F off.
So they traded him to the Vikings.
But then he won his MVP with the Raiders?
Yeah, after playing for the Vikings, the Washington team, the Chiefs, and then he got to the Raiders. So
was that the year they went to the Super Bowl that he won MVP?
He was in that. It was in that. I think that was the year. But he was great from 99 to 2002.
Yeah.
All pro, Super Bowl.
Right.
That started at 34.
When Gruden
so
was there.
In the
when
NFL.
Gruden was there, and then he left for Tampa Bay, who then beat his former Raiders in the Super Bowl.
Total, like, just great story, Rich Gannon. Didn't really take off until 34 years old. Then had three great seasons and won an NFL MVP.
Not a Hall of Famer, though?
No.
No.
God, no. Not even close. No. Not even close.
I mean, MVP.
But a good
helps.
Story. And if he won the Super Bowl, maybe we're talking about a Kurt Warner kind of legacy. Because
then it's MVP, Super Bowl champion, potential Super Bowl MVP.
Yep. But he got smoked by John Gruden in the Tampa Bay.
I think they had three defensive touchdowns in that game.
Close.
Tampa Bay did.
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Let's take a
you
look at
you know what
some...
I loved? Do you ever watch those like Super Bowl movies? Like the season recap?
Oh, my God.
America's Game, I think is what
it
was called.
Oh, God, yes.
And I loved when Tomlin, like before they got to Super Bowl 43, like in the video, Tomlin was asked about like, oh yeah, you know, in practice, I noticed the guys weren't running the ball back, and I told them we did it three times last time I was there.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's practice. We're practicing running the ball back, and it worked out for James Harrison.
You're damn right, it worked out for James Harrison. All right, the Steelers' best fourth round picks ever. I actually think this kind of fell into place nicely for me.
Is an easy top five with a bunch of honorable mentions.
Kind of an easy top five. I mean, there's maybe a couple of minutia to get to. Number one was obvious. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, number one's obvious.
So, you know, just looking through the history of it, once we get into these fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, I'm just going to be honest with some of you old heads out there listening to us. It's just not going to be as well-versed with some of these guys. Like, for instance, here's a guy in 1964 named Ben McGee who made a couple Pro Bowls and started 7 years, but like, not up to Ben McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at some of the honorable mentions that you and I will probably recognize. I mean, in 1998, you got to see Deshae Townsend there.
Yeah.
And then recognize him. Not that he did anything spectacular.
Excuse me. He had a pick six on Tony Romo the year of the Super Bowl.
And Aaron Smith.
Aaron Smith. He's hard for me to keep out of my top five.
Be on the top five. Ike Taylor. Yeah. Ike T. Swaggin, a fourth round pick in 2003. There's a pick in 2002 that's definitely on my list, so I'm not going to name him right now.
How about Clark Hagans? Great inside linebacker, RIP.
Really, really good inside linebacker. Yeah, RIP, tragic. Willie Colon.
Mm.
Yeah, how about
offensive
Willie?
Offensive lineman, sure.
Yes, Daniel Sepulveda, the punter.
Punter.
Fourth-round punter. And it worked out, too. Martavis Bryant, fourth-round pick in 2014. What could have been with Martavis Bryant? Still in the league, though. I don't know why. He's not bold-faced.
He's on Dallas.
I guess not technically. He's not bold-faced right now in Pro Football Reference, which is what they do for their active players. But, I mean, I don't know. He would say he was on a team last year.
I'll say this. I had high hopes for Cortez Allen.
Some of the more modern fourth
Citadel grad. I remember, you know, this is when we were younger and in high school, and I remember, I think Jerry did a story on him saying, like, he was a profile not on Cortez Allen, but on Dick LeBeau, saying, how does Dick LeBeau have this ability to transform guys like Cortez Allen into a potential next Troy Polamalu? And when I read that article, I was like, I'm all in on the Cortez Allen train, but it didn't work
out. Well, the train crashed.
Yeah, it did not do well.
Landry Jones was a fourth-round pick in 2013.
I mean, he won one or two games.
Whatever. Getting into some guys that are active, Josh Dobbs, 2017 fourth-round pick.
Are we going to skip over 2013?
Shamarco? You want to talk about Shamarco Thomas?
I mean, I don't want to talk about it because of the Tebow game.
Josh Dobbs, 2017. Benny Snell Jr., 2019, Benny Snell football. Kevin Dotson, 2020.
Pro Bowler.
Blossoming in L.A. now.
Did he get re-signed there?
I don't know if he got re-signed there, but he was a hot commod in the free agent market. Like, people wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Kevin Dotson. Yep, he signed a 3-year deal with the Rams. I mean, why would they not? Tony Mack, Anthony McFarland Jr., recently released from the Steelers. Mm-hmm. How about this guy? I totally forgot about this guy. Buddy Johnson, 2021 out of Texas A&M.
You forget, but do you remember when in that draft class, it was Buddy Johnson and Dan Moore Jr., both in the fourth round, both out of Texas A&M. And we were pretty high on Buddy Johnson.
I mean, they just keep looking for inside linebackers, just keep throwing that dart at the board, and it didn't work out for Buddy. Dan Moore is still active for the Steelers in 2021. Calvin Austin, 2022. Nick Herbig, 2023.
Big fan of Nick Herbig. Picks.
All right, so number one was incredibly obvious. It was John Stallworth.
The only Hall of Famer.
Only Hall of Famer in this crowd.
100%.
Easy choice. One of the greatest wide receivers ever.
Yep.
And has a gold jacket.
Yep.
And the story, I mean, we mentioned it a little bit last week of how Bill Nunn hid the tape from other teams and kind of stashed John Stallworth away at Alabama A&M. No one knew about him. And Steelers were able to swoop in and get a fourth-round player. Like, that's the thing. Like, Stallworth, like, didn't look like a fourth-round guy on tape. Like, didn't look like maybe we'll take a flyer on him. Like, this was a first-round talent that, like, should have easily gone in the top 20, top 25 of this draft class. And no one just knew about him. Like, this isn't some diamond in the rough that the Steelers found, like an AB where it's like, well, no one figured he'd be that good coming out of center or whatever. Like, if you were to put in the work, like Mr. Nunn did, and scout him, you would have seen that you're getting a stud that, you know, if 50 years from now you go into the future and see he's in the Hall of Fame, you shouldn't be surprised by it.
I think it's pretty telling, Tom, for everyone who talks about the 70s Steelers dynasty. And it's founded in defense. But for the offense to have five Hall of Famers.
Yeah, it just gets
goes to show how great those guys truly were, because everyone talks about the Steel Curtain defense and how it's the best defense of all time. But the offense had a quarterback, a running back, a center, and two wide receivers go to the Hall of Fame from that one unit. I mean, it just goes to show how good John Stallworth was, that he was also deemed Hall of Fame worthy while he was playing at the same time as guys like Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Joe Green, Mel Blunt.
Well, number two on my list is another guy that
played in the 70s. Dwight White.
Dwight White.
Yeah, had to be.
Number two. Not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
One of the few members
of the
Steelers.
I think he's like one of two left. Is it L.C. Greenwood and Dwight White that are still left?
And L.C.'s a little ahead of Dwight, probably.
Yeah.
They're both amazing.
They're probably never going to get in, which is a shame. It's been too long.
I mean, those guys are stud level players. Dwight White made a Pro Bowl twice, and like they were like the fifth, sixth best player on those Steelers defenses. Just too much talent to even comprehend on that steel curtain 1970s defense. And Dwight White was for sure a big part of that, as well as number three for me on this list.
Where are you going?
The exact same year as Dwight White in the fourth round. I got Moon Mullins coming in. Hall of Honor inductee.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, not a Hall of Famer, but...
A Hall of Honor inductee in 2023. Yeah, he never made a Pro Bowl. Never was an All-Pro. But a Steeler from 1971 all the way up until 1979. And, you know, the fact that he was given that honor of being in the Hall of Honor shows you the impact that the Steelers as an organization want you to remember him for. And there's so many other players on that team that come first. We just talked about it with the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, what are you going to do about a guy who bounced from guard to tackle to guard and, you know, was just a total, you know, consummate pro wherever you wanted me to play, I'll play. And did it so successfully to the tune of winning four Super Bowls with the team. I mean, it's good to remember guys like that, that, you know, were so important to that run, but just didn't really ever get the highlights. So I got Moon Mullins coming in at number three. And then we come up a little bit more modern here with my next pick.
This is a little more, no offense to Mullins, but this is a little more fun for us to do because
now
we got to watch these guys play.
2002, fourth round pick. I put Larry Foote at number four.
That's cool with me.
Just such a staple for that incident. And then when they traded for James Farrier, too, and had the Foote and Farrier inside linebacker.
And I misspoke. Clark Hagen's earlier is a fifth-round pick.
Oh, you jumped the gun into the next episode.
I did. Sorry.
But Larry Foote and Farrier, and again, they traded for Farrier. But that tandem ended up being just, you know, again, it wasn't the headline-grabbing aspect of those Steelers' defenses. But man, it was the stabilizing force. It allowed everything to kind of work because they had the middle just on lock. So, and we're gonna do best inside linebackers in football in our fourth episode or our third episode today for our power rankings. And this will be the first time, and it feels like almost a decade that a Steeler will be on that list. But you know, back then these two were probably constantly sneaking around the top 10 list.
Growing up,
such a great tandem that, again, neither of them would be superstars, but both of them just, I think, brought out the best in each other playing.
Are you saying including James? I think James was a superstar.
Maybe.
I think
he was
an All-Pro.
There was a year he almost won Defensive Player of the Year.
Wasn't he an All-Pro 1 year, too?
As we type away.
He was the first team All-Pro in 04, yeah.
He almost won. He was second Defensive Player of the Year in 2000.
And then he was second team All-Pro in 2008. So he was
a star, but would
you
say
not a superstar?
And then also think about who was on the defense with him again.
Right. Like, well, so just reminiscing about that, the four guys across the board, right? Because playing in the 3-4, you had I don't know the order because I think they swapped a lot, but it was Woodley to Foote to Farrier, to Harrison, across for your linebackers, but then also having Clark Hagans as your fifth man. It's not like you only had those four and you had to rely on those four guys. Clark Hagans was a great fifth option.
Oh, my God, of course he was. And then, you know, but you had overlapping eras, too. Like, not only did you have the Harrison and Woodley with these two, you had Porter. You had Peasy.
Yeah,
there,
right.
Peasy
was
like,
there. Yeah. At so, the, yeah, you're right.
Larry Foote.
Peasy kind of came, Peasy's end was right around Harrison's start.
Yeah. But I think Larry Foote's a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number five for me, you know, maybe you go Ike Taylor here.
Where are you going?
I went Aaron Smith.
Thank you.
Another.
I love Ike.
Another 2023 Hall of Honor inductee. So him and Moon Mullins both getting in this year. And both getting on our list for our top five fourth-round picks in Steelers history. But, again, Aaron Smith, just, you know, steady Eddie, right? Made one Pro Bowl, played nine seasons as a starter. Just a total solid piece to that defense. Career Steeler from age 23 to age 35. Made one Pro Bowl, like I said. Man, that 2004 team was loaded, man. He made this Pro Bowl when James Ferrier was
just
runner-up defensive player of the year.
On, like, 2000, I mean, just the aughts decade. Yes. 2000 and 2010, that defense was, and there were a lot of guys. Like you said, a couple of eras crossed over in that 10-year span, but what consistency they had over 10 years.
And I mean, I love Brett Hiesel for sure, and he'll be on our list when we get to the seventh round, I'm sure. But and he made a Pro Bowl as well. Those two, him and Aaron Smith, such a great tandem.
Up front.
Kiesel, I think, became more of a star. Had the bigger personality.
Yeah, right. Had the facial recognition,
but Smith,
too.
I think, was the better player. Like, I think Smith was the...
And then anchoring them in the middle was...
Big Snack.
Big Snack. Come on. How fortunate are we to grow up in a town that's rooted in history, that had a decade like the 70s, and then to grow up with our own, right? We had not four, but two Super Bowls, but we had a roster that, sure, maybe doesn't have as many Hall of Famers. Maybe one day it could, probably not, but certainly a lot of lovable names and faces, and we got to grow up with that, right?
Yes.
It wasn't like we have to spend our whole lives hearing about the 70s, we had our decade of prowess, and that was the 2010s. Or 2000s, sorry.
We'll continue to highlight how incredible the Steelers franchise has been throughout its existence with the fifth round, which, spoiler alert, has another Hall of Famer in it. So we'll get to that next. We'll talk about some fifth round picks around the NFL, too, and give you our top five fifth round picks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's on the way on the Steelers Standard.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.